Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many, many other things. We're going to start this episode with a little trip to the corrections desk because we've had some messages from listeners about things we've said in the past episode, two episodes.
What, actually. that aren't true, you mean?
Well, they just needed a little bit of, you know.
Gosh, how long have they got?
Kind of, a lot of people just going, I think you'll find. One of them, which had loads of people commenting on, we were talking 2 weeks ago about the oldest car design you can still buy, mainstream car design. And I think I'd alighted on the Fiat 500 as being the oldest from dates 2007, the fundamental design. Lot of people, so many people, I'm not going to read out names, pointed out the Nissan GTR also came out in 2007.
Yes, it's in the, it gets regularly featured in the Living Rural Life Museum near Birmingham. In fact, it's going to be on the next episode of Peaky Blinders. It's true. And it's legit.
Yeah, historically accurate. Well, now
it's completely true. There'll be straw and sewage down the high streets.
And
there'll be people tipping tar onto one another and donkeys back kicking their owners. And then there'll be a GTR with obviously, and the owner will constantly say to you, it's supposed to be heavy.
Yeah.
And it'll have a lead front bumper, you know, like an old tractor.
Yes.
Yeah. And
some kind of toothless, scurvy-addled simpleton will go, what? I don't know. What's that sticker on the back? And he'll go, well, it's the Nürburgring. They're not.
Oh, yes.
I've never watched Peaky Blinders. They're actually Brummies, though, aren't they? I do know that.
Yes, it is Brummies. I've never watched
generic
it. Not because I don't
folk.
Want to. Just not got round to it.
Yeah, but it's one of those, isn't it? It's like, oh, I hear it's good, but I am quite busy.
It's supposed to be very good.
Yeah. Anyway,
there's a lot of young men now that look like Peaky Blinders,
don't they?
They've got the beard and the hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully they don't walk round with really stubby, evil knives putting them into one another's stomachs. But let's hope they don't do that, because that's just horrible. But I feel like an old git, because I remember the GTR being launched. I think I was in Tokyo when it got unveiled.
Were you?
Yeah, I've got photos on a digital camera that predates phones.
One 0.4 megapixel camera that you took with
you. Yeah, I think I've got a selfie of me stood next to the cutaway. They had a cutaway of the chassis with showing all the drivetrain. And it was fantastic. And I thought, wow, this thing's going to be an absolute weapon. And sure enough, it was an absolute weapon.
Yeah, you keep saying that. Makes you sound like
fast forward 36 years, it's still in production, and there's still people saying, hi guys, which vinyl wrap should I use for it?
Are they though, or is it? Do you know, I found if I saw one the other day, I saw a GTR after people had been correcting us on this. I saw one for the first time in ages, and I thought, oh, they were good, are good, aren't they? But
they were really funny enough. I saw one when I was filming the Renault Alpine. That isn't a Renault, it's obviously just an Alpine. When I was filming that, one of them came through the village. We'd pulled over in to reposition some cameras, and I listened to it. He was leaving it in first gear, doing about 20, but it did sound so smooth. They are, until you come off the throttle, they're very smooth.
Yeah. I remember, actually, when they came out, going to America to drive it for no apparent reason. It was weird. Mm. Evo went, do you want to go to America to drive the GTR? They'd already tried it in, I forget where, probably Japan. But
really?
Yeah, but they went, oh, Nissan have got a place on this trip to America to go and drive the GTR. And I was like, but for why? And they went, well, it's the first GTR that's going to be sold in the US, so I suppose that's the angle. And I was like, all right, if you want. It was one of those weird trips where we were there. We flew to San Francisco and then got a smaller plane out to Lake Tahoe.
What?
And I know. I sat on the plane one of those very, very slender planes. Not a private jet, just a commercial plane that's very, very slender. You know what I mean? Where you have to properly
stoop. Is that where
you're
touching heads with a stranger?
Yeah. Well, the guy who sat next to me... Also, I think that weird thing in American internal aviation where sometimes you don't have a seat number, you just... Actually, it's not weird, is it? They do it on EasyJet, or they used to, but...
You just
get in and find a seat like it's a coach. And the guy who came and sat next to me, bear in mind we're going to... where we go to Reno. So there's a lot of eager amateur gamblers, but possibly people who've been banned from Vegas are going to Reno. The guy sat next to me had one of those sort of leather cowboy hats, and he...
Oh, amazing.
He was amazing. Wearing... Now, my mind might be painting in the gaps in this picture, but I'm pretty sure he was wearing a leather waistcoat under which he had a white T-shirt that said, "I fucked your mama" on it.
No way.
And I saw him coming up the very narrow aisle, and I thought, ah.
He's going to sit really close.
He looks like a character, and then he sat next to me. He was fine. We had no interaction.
Oh, no, hang on. Hang on, Richard. Mm. Let's pause. Because the GTR was launched so long ago, presumably this was during the Gold Rush era. So
that
was a
that's
real
right.
Cowboy.
He was a panhandler. Is that what they call him?
He's been called worse, but yeah, you can call him that for the purpose of
this
podcast.
He might have had a blue Zeus in the airport loo.
Oh, he had a bandolier of massive Zeuses.
a bandolier of blue them. Pills, just in case he needs some emergency panhandling in an airport loo.
We've all been there.
Oh, hey, oh, yeah. Bloody hell. I knew I had something
17...
else.
What?
I knew I had something I've got to tell you. It's just about just saying the word Lou reminded me. Over the Easter break, we went to see some friends of ours. We went away to Norfolk, and then we went to see some friends of ours who live up there. And while we were in their house, we were just getting ready to leave. And I said to my mate, "All right, I'm just going to go to the loo." And I walked off towards his downstairs lavatory. Yeah. And as I did, he went, "Okay, enjoy your poo." And I thought, he's misheard me. And he thought I said, "I'm just going to go for a poo," which is a bit of a strident thing to say in a house, even a friend's house. And
what?
So, but then by the time I'd registered that this confusion had arose, I'm sort of already in the downstairs loo and closing the door, and I sort of half-heartedly went, "No," I said, "go at the loo." And then, as the door closed, I heard my wife come into their hall and go, "Where's Richard gone?" And our friend say, "He's just gone for a poo." And from then, in there, I had to go, I'm not. And then it's just like, it's too late.
No,
the social embarrassment is complete.
But you've got the opportunity to stay in there a bit longer, and no one's going to care.
Ah, well,
you should have just gone with it and made a tail.
No, what I did was really rushed it to make it clear that I hadn't, and then sort of flung the door open as if to go, "Smell that! Not a trace, nothing."
No, I tend to wee with the door open in an instance like that. But I've still got my back turned, so I'm not showing anybody anything. But they can obviously hear it. They can see the golden arch if they're lucky. But they go, "Oh, he's clearly not pooing, because why would you do that? You wouldn't stand up pooing with him."
Stand up.
Anyway,
the Nissan GTR was originally driven by people during the War of the Roses, apparently. Thank you for everyone who pointed that out. But on a steward's inquiry, it has gone off sale in the UK, so technically not admissible to our oldest car you can buy in this country at the moment.
I'd quite like to have one last drive.
I know, just to remind myself. I was talking to my brother the other week when he was down here about GTRs, because we were both agreeing we quite fancied one. And then I looked up on Auto Trader how cheap, or you know, how what they're down to now, because I was thinking they've been around for a while, as we know. A lot of people think Lee Harvey Oswald made good his escape in one after assassinating John F. Kennedy. So I was thinking, they must be getting to a point now where, you know, they're sort of like 30 grand. Not quite. When I checked, they were 35. But the cheapest GTR on Auto Trader at that point, which was 3 or 4 weeks ago, it claimed that it had light paintwork damage caused by peacocks. And I couldn't tell.
So, did it actually say that?
I honestly said that. It's gone now. Just look, the ad's gone.
Hang on, that's an old money GTR, Rich.
Well, that's the thing I was thinking.
That's an old money GTR. It's been sat in the gardens, ornamental, formal gardens, of a stately home, because they, you know, they just like performance or something. But of course, it gets lightly damaged by all the wildlife and the comings and goings of gardeners and I don't know.
Well, peacocks are daft twats, aren't they? Because they see their own reflection in car paintwork and then set about the car as if it's a fight they're going to win. Idiots.
I can do a good impression of a peacock. I'm not going to say good. Let me say I can do an average impression of a peacock.
Go on then.
Yeah. Ow!
That's not bad.
That's my my throat was a little claggy because I've gone hard on the dark coughing.
Oh, okay. But no, that was fair play. That's
a little bit of training. I could probably improve that.
We're sending you to Birdcall Camp.
Did you? Yeah. In fact, the Nissan GTR was in Bridgerton. I know that much as well.
Ah, that's right. Yes,
it's very popular at the moment.
I've just looked though. The cheapest GTR in Autotrader at the moment is $32,000.
Yeah, they went down to that for a while because people were breaking them for 30.
Were they
ropey ones?
What, to put the engine in something else?
Yeah, you can get 15 for the gearbox. Well, you can get 15 for the gearbox.
What,
you could? Yeah, the drivetrain was $15,000 because it would be the first thing that got lunched any time anyone overly abused or overboosted a GTR. The gearbox would shat itself, and it's $15,000.
The next cheapest GTR currently on Autotrader, as we speak, is a Category S one for $36,995. Before I go into the description, the headline is Stage 4.25 Supercar Killer.
Stage
4.25. What the merry frig is that all about?
That's so specific in the staging.
I know.
It's too specific.
Too specific. It's only got 39,000 miles on it, which immediately makes me suspicious somehow, because it's a 2009 car. So that car has done... I can't do the maths. But anyway, it's basically a 13-year-old car, and it's done about 3,000 miles a year, which is weird. Anyway.
My two thoughts on the GTR. Mm. One, fastest Christmas tree run I've ever done in my journalist career was in a GTR. Boots, listeners who've never experienced a GTR, the boot is huge. It's so deep. I could put a Christmas tree almost in it and shut it.
Wow.
Without a roof rack or anything. Impressive. And the other thing is, because it's a heavy car and the heaviness sort of frustrates me, and Nissan's refusal to believe that it's heavy, I'd like someone to do a Drillium project on one. I think a Drillium project would work really well. I don't know if you saw my recent 9/11 feature on the Late Break Show involving the man's obsession with weight loss.
I know, it made me squeamish.
Drillium GTR, yeah, it made a lot of people squeamish. I kind of like it because it's almost like an art exhibit.
It made me squeamish, not just because there's that thing. I don't think I fully suffer from that. I can't remember what that condition is. The way you don't like holes. It
begins with T.
Trichotillomaniaphobia. But
yeah, Skoda Tribica.
Dick Trickle phobia. It's also the fact that he's just taken too much out, and that car would fold up like a paper bag if you even reversed into a low wall.
Yeah, there is that.
Is part of my that made me squeamish. Just went, is that going to be okay? Anyway, this GTR has had a bell housing upgrade 1,000 miles ago.
Haven't we all?
And.
I have as well. A couple of cable ties around the base so you can't see
it's
it.
It's the blues. Yeah.
Just bury them in the dark curly hairs no one sees.
Stage 4.25, approximately 630 brake horsepower with adjustable EQTEC maps. Is that how you pronounce it? EQTEC? ECUTEC? I don't know.
It's a different bell housing.
The car has just had £6,000 on it. All common issues have been addressed for the new owner's peace of mind.
It's just had £6,000. What, they've just placed it on the bonnet
now,
in used notes with a paperweight?
This is actually a dealer that's advertising this, but I'm not going to suggest that they're guilty of hubris, but for fuck's sake, 630 horsepower, says who? That's just made up, isn't it?
You need a dyno report, don't
you? Yeah. Car said £600. He said, owner's peace of mind, buy with confidence. This car is the best on the internet. Is it? Is it really? Well,
that's such a claim, such a bold claim.
It's up there with first to see will buy, isn't it? Well, technically, you were the first person to see it after you wrote that, so now you've got to buy your own car, you twat.
What about if you're contractually obliged to, if someone just carelessly, if their neighbour looked over the fence at the car and then had to buy it by contract? It's like, I haven't even got the money. Well, you're bankrupt.
Well, you have to. You just saw it. Sorry, mate. I wrote it in the ad, therefore it's legally binding because I am full of shit. Anyway, do you know what I like as well? Have you ever seen one of those GTRs where the rear spoiler's been taken off?
Yeah.
They look quite good, I think.
Yeah. A bit like the 300 ZX Nissans. That you could buy, I think they were Japanese market only, which didn't have any of the winglety bits on.
Yeah.
And there was one in the intro to Kill Bill, I remember, being driven by a lady through the neon-lit streets.
Ah.
And I thought it looked particularly suave.
So suave? I'm down with that.
Yeah. Ooh. And I don't use suave and 300 ZX frequently, but in that instance I did. Coupled with the fact that Kill Bill's one of those films, personally, you watch it once, you don't need to watch it again. Kill Bill 2 was a massive waste of my time. Mm. I remember just falling asleep. It was just so dull.
Yeah.
But the 300 ZX was a highlight.
Hey, on that note, actually, do you remember the second generation MR2? And the base model came without the rear spoiler. And at the time, it looked a bit weedy and a bit sort of underdone. You went, no, you want the full of the boot spoiler of the GT. But in retrospect, they sort of look quite pretty and elegant without that boot spoiler. I quite like them.
It's sort of the connoisseur's choice, isn't it? The delete. Yeah, exactly, the Otsot. It's the understated connoisseur's choice. It almost lives on. I like that idea. Well, I guess the whole GT3 touring thing with Porsches has reaffirmed that.
Yeah.
You've got the confidence of the performance. You don't feel the need to shout so loud about it.
There's another GTR for sale here that's stage 4.25. This is clearly a thing that we're not aware of. Stage 4.25, 625 horsepower plus black edition, 38,995 for this one. Actually, ooh, that looks quite good. It's black, but it's got little orange trim all around its, like the bottom of it, basically.
I think I know what I want to do with the GTR. I want to buy one with a lot of panel damage, and then I'll do a floor pan swap with a Matra Rancho, and I feel like it could be a really perfect match.
Dimensionally, you may need to do some checking.
What, wheelbase checking? I might need to.
Yeah.
Well, but imagine that, a Matra Rancho GTR 4.25 spec.
Yeah.
Stage.
Oh my god,
wouldn't that be amazing?
There's a place here in Peterlee in the northeast, so there's a garage called the GTR
Stage
Heritage Center. What the fuck?
It's called a heritage
the GTR Heritage Center, so which just proves your point that the Norman conquests were done using GTRs. It's a very old design.
Yeah.
Why is it called the GTR Heritage? Oh, I'm going to have to look them up and see if they sell GTRs.
Obviously, all UK steam rallies have now got an additional category. So you're allowed to bring a GTR to a steam rally event. So it's illegible. And if you want to, you can take the back wheels up, put it on put it on axle stands, take the wheels off, and a leather belt attached to one of the wheels, and you can attach sort of a makeshift milking parlour to it for demonstrative purposes.
Yeah,
and it could be a stage 4.25 milking parlour.
Maybe that's what stage 4.25 means. It means it's got a power takeoff on it of some sort, so you can run a threshing
PTO,
machine.
It's PTO, isn't it? That's exactly what it is. It's got a GTR PTO.
Yeah. GTR PTO. Yeah.
That is the ultimate in agri. In fact, Clarkson will have one on his farm in the next month or two.
True fact, there was a period when both Jeremy Clarkson and James May were discussing whether they should get GTRs. They both had a craving for one.
That surprises me.
And quite seriously. And it's like, you know, there are many cars they could have bought, and they were both very seriously. I think Hammond might have been quite interested as well. They egg each other on sometimes. And I think they were all quite up for, because they just suddenly remembered. We were just chatting one day, and we just all remembered how good they are. And They still are. You're right, though. I would love to have a go in one before they
maybe we should.
They completely disappear or all go stage 4.96.
Yeah, it's stage 1066, which is obviously the. And there's.
It's a lovely tribute to the year it came out. Edition
tapestry, GTR tapestry in the back.
Tapestry seats.
That'd be amazing with all touch. The other GTRs woven in. So it's some sort of storytelling that went on with the Wii.
Yeah.
Do you know what I was going to say? I was going to start this cast off because you mentioned Norfolk. And actually, the other week, I talked about John Travolta being seen in Norfolk and just suddenly casually having selfies taken with him. When he went to Morrison's cafe for a breakfast. I mean, it just wrecks my head. So he went to Morrison's supermarket and he was seen in a couple of other places. He went to a seafood restaurant and ordered a full-dressed crab for starter and then for main had a whole lobster. So he obviously went into his seafood.
No, but this is like, do you remember when Tom Cruise went to that curry house in Birmingham? And he ordered two of the same dish or something.
Yes, he did.
I'm starting to think these American megastar actors have never been to restaurants before because they don't know how to order. They make a complete cock of it.
These two Americans size portions, so they worry that it might not be enough.
I think maybe they have a private chef at home and they just tend to, you know, have the restaurant experience at home, but it's all taken care of. And when they're confronted with a menu, they panic and do silly things.
Or is it a sort of Roman Abramovich spec where you're worried there's a chance of poisoning, so you order two of everything and then do an eeny, meeny, miny, mo? Never know.
Could be.
Never know, do you?
Know.
Which is why, you know, your glass bottom tankard, make sure no one's put 13 Blue Zeus's in my cider. Or whatever.
you've got an unmanageable bonk on for like 6 days.
Exactly. It's giving me a throbbing head ache.
Oh God, I'm someone's best man. I'm going to have to gaff it to my leg to stop it appearing in the pictures.
But I was thinking at first all this chat of Travolta in Norfolk, and I thought, what's this about? Before I found out the reason why he was filming something, I thought, no, I know. I know why. I know why he's in Norfolk. He flies, doesn't he? You know, we've said he's got a commercial license. He's got a full airport in his back garden. And, of course, over in Norfolk, a couple of US Air Force bases that have been around for some time. He thought, right, I'm just going to go for a couple of big flights, a couple of long hauls to keep my hours up. He's called in and said, can I land in one of the Norfolk bases? They've gone, yeah, no problem. And he's gone and circled in. And as he's gone in and circled to land, he's realised he's seen from the sky huge signs, badly painted signs saying car for sale. And he's thought, I'm a little bit intrigued. I wonder what that's about. And what it is usually it's just a really quite a bad condition Ford B-Max at the side of a road, hastily parked on a verge, with a sign propped up against it that's quite badly painted. And I know you have seen this because I've witnessed this before when I've gone to see my in-laws in Norfolk. There's a lot of badly painted signs propped up next to cars for sale at the side of the road.
Because I messaged you, didn't I, while I was in Norfolk and went, is this the world centre of badly painted signs on cars at the side of the road for sale?
Yes.
I hadn't spotted this before. I think Norfolk has got, it is Britain's, cars for sale at the side of the road hotspot, and it got to the point where we were driving around Norfolk and I could spot it from a mile away, probably because it's quite flat, but you'd sort of see up ahead on a verge or in a driveway, and it's the angle and the incongruity of like, why is there a car there? And even if you couldn't immediately see the badly painted handmade sign, I could tell. I started getting really tuned into it. I'd be like, that's, I saw one of them. It was a bright yellow first generation SLK.
Oh, yellow. I bet it had the blue interior that nobody wanted.
I didn't. Yeah,
I bet it did.
I didn't check, actually. We were driving, so I didn't get a chance to stop. But it was in a driveway, but it was the angle. It just went, no one leaves their car like that.
No.
Why would you leave your car like that? And sure enough, although I couldn't see it at first, as we passed, the nose was pointing the other way. It had got the whole windscreen occupied by the badly made
signs.
Hand-painted sign. And so it went on. It was it's rife.
It's
like they don't have Auto Trader or Car and Classic or anything out there. They just have hand painted signs.
I feel like those sort of parked angles are only seen when cars are abandoned during a police chase in those documentaries. There's flood.
Yes.
So they've mimicked the same angle, but they've just shut the doors because you know when people run out, when thieves run out of cars, they normally leave the door open. And they actually leave it in.
That's funny that though, isn't it? Do they, or is that just in TV reconstructions or, you know, dramas where that happens? Because I feel like even if you're fleeing for your life, you'd almost instinctively shut the door on the car, wouldn't you?
I've seen real police chases on you know the dash cams from cop cars. There are a lot of doors that get left open. I've often found it because the car's still rolling forward, so if they go to swing the door shut, it's not got enough power to shut the door.
No, you're working against it.
You are, and a lot of cars don't.
That's a good point.
I just thought I'd point that out. I think Travolta just used it as a weak excuse to fly a Hercules all the way in. And he thought, I'll fly a Hercules in because if I buy a car, I want to pop it on board and take it. So if he swings in and goes, oh my gosh, look at that. That's a Mitsubishi Shogun 2.8 multi-point injection. Wow, I might have to buy one of those. I mean, they haven't even cleaned under the arches. They haven't made any effort at all for its presentation. I'll see if I can get it down to £3,200. And then I'll get my US Air Force mates to package it up into the Herc. And then I'll go after having seven crabs.
And garnished with a lobster and an octopus.
And then when he's at a high altitude, he suddenly gets tummy bubbles.
I wonder if it was the bright yellow SLK that first drew him in, because that would be very visible from the air, wouldn't it?
It's a beacon. You're right, it's an absolute beacon. And Trav, I'm going to call John Travolta Trav. Is that okay?
Do you think that's what Trav his mates call
him? I
feel like he might be more of a JT.
What about a Volta? Is he a Volta?
The Volta?
Yeah. I think he could be.
Yeah, you're coming out tonight. The Volta's in town. Let's go. I think we could, yeah. Any of those, maybe all of them. That's the thing. Maybe he's a guy who's got a lot of nicknames. Oh, shitting hell. Something else I meant to tell you that's not car related, but just embarrassing things that happened to me while we were away.
Yeah.
Along with the Lou Poo confusion, I think, like a lot of parents, I've got a lot of little sort of pet names for our daughter.
Yes.
And sometimes I call her Boo, and sometimes I call her Minky, and sometimes I call her Bubs, and there's all sorts of little. Just a bit, they just sort of, you know, there's a platter of them, and I don't even think about it. I just, one of them pops out of my mouth when I'm talking to her sometimes.
Yeah.
And we're at a playground, and I wanted to draw her attention because we were about to go, and somehow my brain jammed and accidentally combined more than one of these pet names. And I shouted boobs across a playground. And then immediately had to do that thing when you realise you've said something that's just weird and other people have heard. Well, I'll just bury it under lots more speaking. So I went, boobs, come on, we're going, we're going because we're going over there now. So come on, my love, come on, let's go. But yeah, it was a bit of a... Anyway.
Boobs in a children's park.
Yeah. Boobs!
Yeah,
could have been worse, I suppose. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, John Travolta.
Eating
all of the sea creatures within an immediate radius of East Anglia and then flying off with...
Oh, he would have bought the SLK. He would have bought an American car as well, because someone around the US airbase would have had something interesting that he's gone, oh, do you know what, while I'm here, I've got a bit of space in the Hercules. A bit like a lorry driver, they don't want to go home with an empty load. Might as well put something on board. I don't even want it, but it's all right, I've got enough money. Throw it on, I'll take it back with me. I might jettison it halfway across the sea because I'm getting a bit low on fuel. So, oh no, what should I do? Get rid of the Mazda Demio. Yeah, okay.
It's paper.
Just get rid. No one will see.
There's all these people in the North Sea going, why is there a Honda Accord Type V just bobbing about in the middle of the Atlantic? Travolta!
Yeah, that's Volta. That's Volta.
So that's a good point as well. While I was in East Anglia, I spotted quite a few of those, you know, double takey sort of, because it's an American car or it's a Honda we don't get. And it's those Odyssey. US service people. It suddenly occurred to me, why do the US military allow this? Because surely it makes these service people more of a kidnap risk and things like that.
That's a very, very good point. You want to blend in, surely. Everyone should just
Blend in.
Everyone the should US have Air cash codes.
Yeah, well, so I was going to say the US Air Force should just do a deal with a local used car dealer and go, we want all of your blandest stock, please. Qashqais.
Insignias,
C-Maxes, bring them over. Zafira, yes, please.
Yes.
And then they could just blend in. But no, it's like, apart from the absurd complexity and expense, I imagine it's not because they've got big planes, haven't they? But even so, it's like going, we really want to take our Honda Odyssey to the UK so that I can sit on the wrong side of the car in a vehicle that's slightly too big for UK roads.
I know, and I'm going to air freight it over there VAT-free just for you. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
We've got this 2011 Vauxhall Zafira. How does that suit you? Basically the same sort of car.
Steering
but a little
wheels
bit more dismal.
On the right. And,
but the steering wheel's
and it's
on the
already
correct
here.
Side,
you don't have to air freight it. So there we go. Done.
And they could even just sort of cone off a little bit of the airbase for right-hand drive driver training. So you do a bit of acclimatization.
I know.
And then you're allowed out.
You know, the point of it, of them blending in, I think is a great idea. Just to throw people off the scent as well, any potential wrong-uns, I think they should import just a couple of Ford Raptors, but give them to old people in Norfolk as like a free prize draw. So you go to a village fete and you go, oh, look, US Air Force are giving away a brand new Raptor to a local. Oh, isn't that really nice? And so there's 74-year-old Margaret tooling around in some like Larry pickup that she doesn't fully understand, but she won it, so it's fine. She's not a greedy woman, yeah. She's not going to sell it.
No, exactly. You're always quite nice. I like the colour.
I love the colour. So she goes around in it, but of course that when the enemy might come to town to look around, they'll just follow the Raptor. They go, oh, they're clearly American. Follow them.
Yeah, but then they might take someone's grandma hostage, and she'd be like, I won it at the fete. It's not. I don't know where they keep the missiles. I don't know why you're asking me.
I don't know why she's northern,
but anyway.
I have to say, if she did have to make chase, or as sometimes tragically happens, people have a heart attack at the wheel and their throttle foot gets jammed down into the footwell and locked out. Of course, a Raptor will go as the crow would fly. Not a problem. It'll go down ditches, over hedges, through low walls. Just not an issue. So it's actually a really good heart attack car, potentially.
Well, yes and no, but then eventually, dear old grandma, heart gives out, clogs it. The Raptor just scythes across Norfolk until it arrives at Cromer. The sea, but before it gets into the sea, it inadvertently runs over John Travolta, who was crabbing off the pier there to slake his insatiable appetite for shellfish.
He's got a chef on the pier with him. She just cooks it out. He cooks the bugger.
Can't cook it fast enough. He's bought some kind of solar-powered microwave, and as fast as those little buggers are coming out of the sea, he's popping them in for a couple of minutes, and then just smashing the shell open with a claw hammer he bought from the B&Q on the outskirts of town.
No,
the man's a lunatic.
He's using a white Mercedes SLK as just a prawn bucket. That's all it's. He'd be going, just fill it.
What, like the interior's full of ice? He's just filled it with ice and then he's just chucking.
That's right. And then he just drives it back to the US air base and just says, guys, do what you want with it. I've had it for 3 days. It's absolutely fine.
Oh, by the way, it stinks of fish. Bye.
Gets in his Hercules and goes.
Right, well, look. guys, we're still at the corrections desk because there are a couple of other things I need to just spool through. One, very quickly, was just that the episode before last of this podcast, I kept saying Conquistadors. It was, in fact, the title of the show. And a few people rightly pointed out it's Conquistadors.
Oh, sugar.
And that's a bit embarrassing.
That one up.
Schoolboy error. In fact, someone pointed out, I think, that it's you should know that from the Joy Division song Dead Souls, which, in fact, contains the word conquistadors pronounced correctly. And it does. And I like Joy Division a lot, and I didn't even realise that I was pronouncing it incorrectly. So from now on, I'll get that right. For centuries, the conquistadors have driven Nissan GTRs. and then the big correction we had to make is we were talking about a safari-style Alpine A110.
Yeah, this is a big boo-boo. Big boo-boo.
And a lot of people waded in and went, they made one. I think the first person out of the box on this was one of our patrons, Bjorn van der Ven, was the first person to point it out, but he was followed by many, many other people who went, they did. Alpine made a concept called the Sports X concept, which was exactly what we were talking about, a jacked-up safari-style Alpine A110. It looked mega. I can't believe that we both forgot about it. I'll be honest.
I feel awful.
It's weird I didn't remember it at all until it was pointed out. And then we had an email from David Tuhig, the man who led the A110 project, who we mentioned in the in that show, confirming, first of all, that they did that concept that we'd completely forgotten about. Little bit of an embarrassment for us. But he said, I fully agree. Not only do I agree, we got damn close to actually making one, the A110 Sports X concept.
Overly long
name, but I think it looked cool as hell.
The design
was done by my mate, Anthony Villan. Great name. Who's a certified genius, so of course it looked great. The idea was, of course, to exploit the A110's low mass and relatively long suspension travel by giving it a little bit of ground clearance, even more travel, and tyres with deep sidewalls. Coming from Ireland, I was, and still am, a huge fan of such an idea. Ireland is full of narrow, bumpy roads with dodgy surfaces where normal low-clearance sports cars are next to useless. We were also thinking of the many countries in southern and eastern Europe where it's not unusual to come across a stretch of gravel roads, or at least roads so badly surfaced they might as well be. One side benefit is using such a car in town. There's no noise in the world worse than a nice set of alloys grating on a curb. Modern low-profile tyres offering zero protection. Higher sidewalls would allow one to use a sports car in town without being paranoid about parking it. So this is all the stuff we were sort of thinking about. They were already way ahead of us. And he said the design was, of course, inspired by the Alpine A110 Berlinettes that did indeed, as Johnny pointed out, compete in various African rallies in the 60s and 70s, jacked up and cool as hell. But Anthony and his team were also inspired by 959s and various 1980s 911 SCRSs, etc. It was a properly engineered and fully running concept and shown at a few events in 2019 and 20. It got some love, but not as much as one would have hoped for, and tragically not enough for Alpine to actually push the button. He says, brackets, I'm desperately trying to avoid saying pull the trigger. Thank you, David. the cruel economics of the cost-volume curve were against it. So there we go. Firstly, the horse's mouth, they thought it was a good idea too. But
David, thank you for getting in touch.
Yeah.
And David, so sorry that we forgot that concept. And I didn't know it was a fully engineered car. I desperately want to drive it now. Can we campaign to get it out and have a go? Remind people this is a shit art idea. And also, like he said in his letter, in a world now where Porsche are almost certainly going to release a safari-esque production car, and there's aftermarket people doing similar things, the PR of that and the wider interest of that, it just makes sense for it to happen now. I mean, bloody hell, if Alpine had put this into production, it would have beat Porsche at the game.
It would have made Porsche look like they were playing catch-up.
And it would have probably been a better car because it was lighter.
Exactly. It's very funny because David concludes his message by saying that he sort of feels that the concept, Alpine, was maybe 2 or 3 years ahead of its time, now that backdated Safari 911s are all over the internet. And Porsche itself seems to be testing a jacked-up production version of the 911. I suspect it might fly now better than it did in 2019. So,
can we get it out? Yeah. Can I drive it on the Late Break Show? Or can we drive it together on Smith & Sniff?
Go and start hassling Alpine.
I'm bloody going to.
Do it.
I'm bloody going to. I've had two people contact me since I put my video out of the Alpine saying they've ordered one.
Really?
Yeah, off the back of that video. It's nice. Wow. I feel like, I reckon I've sold at least 4 Alpines in 18 months.
Well, that's, I mean, they don't sell that many generally, do they? So you've
2,500 a year. It's they don't fly out the door.
No, but then it's a shame because it's a lovely car.
It's fun. It's lots of fun for sure.
Lots of fun. Lots of fun. The other thing I was going to talk to you about this week is
John Travolta in Norfolk.
We've done enough of that.
Do you feel like you don't want to do any more of that?
Just kind of wander away from the John Travolta desk. I went to America for 2 days to drive the new Range Rover.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
Get me. Turns out going to California for 2 days is quite intense in terms of then coming home and immediately going to Norfolk and not remembering which way is up. It was, I was sort of quite spacey. You know, when you sort of that jet lag that's not tiredness as such, it's like you fully spaced out. And
I never got jet lagged, so I'm quite lucky. No, I just taught myself to not bother thinking about it, and it worked. I'm a man of strong belief.
So if you went to
yeah,
somewhere like, say, California, where it's like an 11-hour flight there and it's an 8-hour time difference, what you don't then, your first night there, you don't wake up at 4 a.m. wide awake and starving hungry because your body thinks it's not the time that it is.
I'd have a jumbo piss, but and then I'll just go back to bed.
I don't think that's related to anything. You just go back to bed and what? And go to sleep?
Yeah.
Piss off. No one can do that.
No,
that's
I do do that. Or you make sure you've got a boring book or a boring email there. So if you're tempted, but you never pick the phone up because the evil light will reel you in.
No. I had that. I was like, lying there going, don't look at your phone. Don't look at your phone.
No. You'll start searching for Matra Bagheera's on Car and Classic, and we all know where that leads. But
there's a story here about John Travolta trying to eat a narwhal.
John Travolta buys an ISO Revolta. ISO Travolta.
What? That was for sale at the side of a road near Norwich.
And he's bought the company, completely reinvigorated ISO. He's done it. He's got the money.
ISO Travolta.
The ISO Travolta.
So there wasn't that. There was nothing. I just lay there. And then eventually I got up because I flew to San Francisco. And then I got up and I was in a hotel that had blackout blinds on the windows, which was nice for getting to sleep and all that. But then I thought, I brought my runners with me. I'll go for a run. Go for a run around San Francisco. That'd be nice. That'd be a novelty. So I got all ready and then I put the blinds up and it was still pitch dark outside. So I went for a run in the dark, and in fact I went downstairs and the concierge, where I said I'm just going out for a run, so and he went, whoa, careful, make it a short one, it's raining out there. And I was a bit like, mate, I'm from England, this is natural running weather. But then when I got back to the hotel, the lady at reception thought I was drenched in sweat and went, hey, can I have my key back please? And she went, do you want a water? I had to explain that it was just rain on me, which is
I love that. Whoa there, running in the rain.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Like what, you might dissolve. And you're like, no. Also, I mean, if you live in San Francisco, it's very moist, that city.
It is so moist.
The fog and the rain. It's not like sort of Southern California or somewhere else.
I must dig out the true San Franciscan history of my Dodge Charger. I want to.
Oh yes,
because it was supplied there new, but I don't know any of those details. I just know it was supplied to San Francisco new. I want to know. I want to know how I can dig out this history. I'd love to know.
You'd have to do it back off the VIN, presumably.
Yeah.
Because the license plate wouldn't really, would it? I don't know. Do you know the original license plate number? But that can you?
I have.
They change though, don't they? They're not as locked in as UK registration numbers.
No, the VIN is the true identity, and I don't think you can find. I don't think you can discover that far back, you know, like what dealer it was assigned to or anything like that. But if you can, I would love to know more. It is an original, you know, numbers matching car, but it's just I just want to know who in the name of Judea decided it was a good idea to buy non-servo drum-braked car for San Francisco market. I just think they were either a hero or a terrible just idiot.
A momentum enthusiast. There was less traffic in those days. Maybe
yeah.
It just wasn't an issue.
Brake fade just wasn't the thing. It's fine. Just a little bit more asbestos in the morning to breathe in through the quarter light while smoking two fags. Well, I don't know. It's just... do you know, I was going long haul flights for a short amount of time. I don't do that anymore. I mean, I haven't done a long haul flight for ages, but...
Well, no, me neither. It was a bit weird. And I don't
unnecessary.
Generally do it. I don't. I've never been on the sort of, you know, Cargerno launch circuit. And I think you've probably done more of that stuff than I have.
Circuitador, yeah.
Circuito del... Yeah. del tiredness. It's... don't know the Spanish for tiredness.
Circuito del...
Couldn't even pronounce conquistadors properly. It's... I didn't. So, but anyway, I the Sunday Times asked if I'd go and drive the new Range Rover, and I went, well, okay, if you insist. So, yeah, it's just... It was very nice. And the car's good as well. And, well, that's it. That's my in-depth review of the new Range Rover.
Well, that's nice. I appreciate that very much. Now,
it is very good. So, it's sort of more of the same, but improved and tweaked, and yeah,
hopefully very reliable. Yeah,
it's the thing, isn't it? It's the first thing people always mention about it, and you do go, there's a lot of stuff on that car now because it's got 48 volt electrics to do the active anti-roll, and it's got four wheel steering, and there's all manner of other tech in it, active noise cancelling.
Cancelling.
And it's got that sort of that thing where it knows from the nav data what's coming up, so it can prime the suspension for bumps and for corners. And it's a very, very high-tech car. And then it's got some sort of electromechanical trickery in it. Like if you have the long wheelbase with the SV stuff, it's got this electric table that rises out of the centre console and all manner
of
stuff.
Which is all, it's all lovely.
It's all lovely, but if it goes
if it
on the bonk,
work,
that's
it's not
troublesome.
Useful.
No, exactly. There's one of the ones which actually I thought is a step too far, not just worried it's going to stop working, but just because it's too much, is same as the Porsche Taycan, some of the adjustments of the dashboard vents is done by going into a menu in the touchscreen.
Oh, stop it.
Too much. Now, the Taycan is ridiculous because you even move the vents in the touchscreen, don't you? And it's just stupid.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah.
The Range Rover's not that bad. You can still, there's a little tab on each vent that you can still just swivel it about the way you would normally. What there isn't is a thumb wheel to close off the air supply. To do that, you have to go into a menu.
Stop.
Fuck off.
Stop.
Stupid.
It. Stop.
Whoever
it.
Decided that was a good idea should be flayed with rope. It's stupid. and it's because my wife in any given car spends half the journey fuck-assing around with the ventilation. She's always
really?
Just not quite right. Yeah.
I never fiddle with the ventilation.
No, I know, I don't
10
either.
10 seconds at the most.
I don't generally, but I was thinking as I was driving that new Range Rover about my wife and going, oh, my God, this would be a nightmare, because she's always going, oh, it's a draft, can I just... And then you've got to go, oh, I'll put you through to the touchscreen menu where it... Yeah, no need. I can't believe that there's a cost saving there, because they've got to be little servos back there to do the closing of the thing, where previously a little wheel would have done it. Why is there the necessity to do this? It's the weirdest feature of that car, because it seems it's not more luxurious to do that. It's just more inconvenient, and inconvenience is by definition unluxurious. Luxury should be relaxing.
Yes, it should be, exactly, and it shouldn't require lots of learning. Well, your 2022 Range Rover experience, I could use that as a segue into saying that I watched Cliffhanger the other night for the only the second time. I watched it when it was in the cinema, when it was new, when I was at school. I don't know why, I just decided to watch it, and the children, because it was Easter holidays, I said to the kids, yeah, you can watch that. Well, it does feature a Land Rover in it, which is why I'm bringing it up now. We'll come on to that in a sec. First of all, an incredible amount of MFs, which I hadn't quite banked on with the children being sat
oh,
next
really?
To me watching the film. Yeah, a lot of MFs. I'm not talking about Massey Ferguson's.
No.
I'm talking about...
yeah, we know.
Although sexy MF by Prince would have a whole new meaning if that was the case. He'd be well into his aggry.
Yeah.
But yeah, lots of MFs in Cliffhanger. And of course, Stallone... drives a Series 3 Land Rover in the film, and in the intro it's seen just sort of like looks like it's climbing up a very steep mountainous hill and actually having a hard time of it. And I reckon it's a 2.25 petrol, but I might be wrong. I'm willing to stand corrected. But the film's quite good, although, yeah, lots of swearing and lots of point-blank range sort of, like, torso shooting. I noticed that was my other observation that I wrote down. Not that I was trying to review the film. I'm not Mark Kermode.
Shooting.
You know, like, shooting people being shot in the chest at point-blank range. A lot of it. There was a lot of it going on.
Ah, okay.
Seemed a little bit unnecessary. And my wife was like, listen, you're going to have to turn this off. This is too much. And then my son, who's 10, turned to her and he went, look, it just looks like ketchup. It's really fake. It's not real anywhere. And I went, yeah, exactly, mummy. I mean, obviously the MFs is not great, but the sort of chest shooting I'm okay with.
This is the opposite of what happened to us when we were away, where we were having a picnic and my son suddenly went, oh, mum, did you put ketchup in my sandwich? And she went, no. And it was, in fact, he'd gashed his finger open on a piece of metal and not noticed. And there was just blood all over the bread. It did look like ketchup. I thought, I was like, God, there's a lot of ketchup there. Oh no.
Oh, yeah, the finger gash.
Deep gash, yeah. Anyway.
Well, Cliffhanger. Yeah, so if anyone remembers that film, I think it's 1993.
I do not remember that film. And I do not remember the Land Rover in it, no.
Oh, well, you'll have to watch it just for the Series 3 LR. And there's a short wheelbase Ford Bronco in there as well that the love interest of Sylvester Stallone drives.
Now, funny enough, I was going to say, I won't. Yeah, I've done my review of the new Range Rover. It's really nice. If you want one, then of course you do. It's a Range Rover. You know what you're getting. Just a bit better than the last one. Do you know what? Then I got back from that and immediately got into my old third generation Range Rover to go away to Norfolk. And I was a bit worried. I thought, oh no, mine's going to feel really cack now. And it doesn't, actually. It felt perfectly fine. Felt just part of the family, just a bit worse. Thank God.
Goodness for that. Phew. I was worried. I was really worried about that.
I don't know how you'd sleep. Except apparently I've just learned that you could seemingly just go to sleep, which is an incredible skill.
I can.
I'm so jealous.
Well, I live in constant tiredness. And
well, that's true, yeah.
I used to say to my wife, jet lag is for pussies. And that was all I said.
Although, ironically, pussies can also sleep anywhere, so they'd probably have no trouble with it. They'd have slept on the plane, wouldn't they? All just
that's true, actually. Yeah. Do you think cats say that? They don't use that terminology, I would say. That's for pussies, that is.
No. I tell you what else I saw in San Francisco was an El Camino, and I was trying to work out, are they cool or are they still a bit
no, they're cool.
Kind of.
No, El Caminos.
Go, ooh. I think they're cool, but it's hard to get a read. Are they cool in their homeland? Because as an outsider, you go, yeah, that's cool, but I don't know. It was really nice and scruffy, but in a good sort of way, where I think they kind of look quite good scruffy. And also, it was making
I like an El Camino, and I'm not a pickup truck fan, as you might know, because they're the acceptable face of the pickup world, or should I say the useful face of the pickup world, because they're a car.
Well, I suppose so, yeah. So, are they monocoque? They look like they probably are, because they've got that kind of sail panel.
Yeah.
They're not a separate chassis,
if they're based
on...
Well, it depends. I mean, a Chevrolet El Camino is based on like an Impala and or a Chevelle. I'm pretty sure they're separate chassis. I have to look. I mean, I know the original 50s one are based on Impalas. So they would be the same chassis as an Impala. And then you've got the Ford Ranchero, which is based on a Ford. I'm sure that's a separate chassis. A Ranchero. I like the Ranchero. It's a sort of slightly rougher brother of the El Camino. The El Camino is a little bit more dainty for some reason. Ranchero just seems a little bit more kidnappy. But
That's the thing. I was looking at this El Camino and I was like, does the driver... I think the driver was wearing a vest. And I was like, but is it an ironic vest or just a vest? And how stained is the vest?
Oh,
and are they ironic stains? I don't know. San Francisco, you would assume this is kind of... It's a slightly hipstery thing, but I didn't really get a good look at the occupants. I heard it and then turned
I think they're cool now.
Yeah, quite possibly. I think they're cool. I'm just wondering, you know, if you drove one in America, I would like to sort of run it past my wife, and if she went,
Elk, if it's a boxy mid-70s onwards one, You could look a little bit Gene Hackman in Enemy of the State spec with them, if you remember that, where he picks up Will Smith and has to run away and blow up his own apartment because all his monitoring equipment gets twigged by the government. So he basically sets fire to his own apartment and then drives away in an El Camino. So there's some level of cool. And it actually catches on fire, come to think of it. I think they start shooting at it and it might have caught the fuel line or something under the bonnet. I mean, there's not a lot under the bonnet, so a lot of technology at least.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. There's
be a 350 small block, won't there? It'd be wheezing out a strong 113 horsepower in the late 70s.
on premium gasoline, yes. I tell you what else I saw on my travels were a couple of Rivians, the pickups.
You saw a finished one?
I saw one in San Francisco, and it looked good, and I thought it looked quite big. But then I saw another one out in the wilds of Northern California, and actually, I don't think it's as big as I thought. Probably because I was in a long wheelbase Range Rover at the time, but actually not so big. I thought it would be comically huge, and it's not. But it's a good looking thing as these things go. Neat.
As a package, I'm really into it. The R1T is the pickup, isn't it? The R1S is the Range Rover-y sort of Chevy Suburban-y SUV.
That's not out yet, is it?
No, I don't think so. But that's the one that I'm less interested in. The R1, weirdly, the pickup is the one I'm more interested in because it's got so many cubby holes and things. It's a bit like the Ford Lightning. It's like it's the one pickup truck that I'm interested in because it has lots of stowage that isn't in the back of the pickup bit.
I think that's a good point, though, isn't it? In general, and partly because of the way EVs can be packaged, we're entering a golden age of cubby holes.
Oh, cubby heaven. Absolute cubby heaven.
Cubby heaven. Three more from him later.
Cubby broccoli.
Cubby broccoli.
Exciting.
Storage space enthusiastic Bond producer there's ever been. Cubby holder broccoli.
Oh, yeah, cubby. Oh, he'd just say, listen, if you're going to get on a flight with just hand luggage only, just pass it to me. I'll
find
stash a place
it. For it. He was quite a big lad, wasn't he? I bet he had a lot of storage in his clothes by dint of them being, quite voluminous.
Or he just used to put them inside a bag for life and then put them
and
inside
leave them in a bus shelter. Cubby! The earlier thing I saw, I saw a few things, but I won't bore you with all of them, but it feels like for the second week in a row I'm going to blow some smoke up Toyota Design's tumble home. But I saw there's a new Toyota Venza, which is a car we've never got here. The old Venza was a bit sort of kind of, just a sort of half-hearted crossover. My parents-in-law had one, which they really liked it, and it was a Toyota.
I've
it was reliable.
I've got to look this up. Toyota Venza.
Yeah, the new Venza. I mean, it looks like they've had a damn good look at Ian Callum's Jag SUVs. It's got F-Pace and E-Pace vibes about it.
Oh, yeah.
Combined with some very sort of Lexus-y stuff, but it's a Toyota, and it's just it's a nice-looking car. And it's just because I've never seen one. I didn't even know it existed, to be perfectly honest. And I saw a few of them around.
As you said it, I was just started humming Elvis's Return to Sender in the back of my head.
Return to Venza. Yeah, it's just because I didn't see... you used to go to America and you'd sort of see lots of cars you didn't recognise because they have different cars. And it feels like maybe that's not so much the case. Still is, of course. There's lots of stuff we don't get here, but there wasn't much that I hadn't already seen or wasn't aware of, and that was the one where I went, what's that? And then realised, because I didn't know that. I thought they deleted the Venza for good, but no, apparently they decided to bring it back but make it a bit more SUV-ish, and it's a very pleasant-looking thing. So I don't know, the bigger headline being Toyota Design seems to have got a bit more of their shizzle together these days.
As long as it's not a Toyota Solara, which I remember being... very retirements.
Yeah, terrible. Terrible. And,
and
the front of the
what's
Solara
worse,
name.
A Talbot Solara or, I was going to say, what is it? I'd love to do a twin test. Toyota Solara versus
Solara
Talbot.
While eating a Solero.
they're both very average cars, aren't they?
Yes. I mean,
the Talbot Solara was never brilliant.
No.
I know you've got first-hand experience of these
things.
Yeah,
but I'd never tried
it. You never drove it, though?
No,
did
I didn't.
Did you ever drive it?
No, I was too young. No, I started it. a few times. I was allowed to start it, and but not ever.
Your old, didn't your old man migrate to an Avenger? He went to an Avenger, didn't he?
No, the other way around. He went Avenger, Avenger, Alpine, Solara. And then,
oh, gosh, he just gradually got worse.
Well, but then sure. 405, so, you know, kind of picked up then because Talbot were out of business.
Redeemed.
Anyway, we do, this is the whole fertile ground, isn't it? Father family trees of cars. That they get, it's almost like play your cars right, because you can go, now, your dad's next car, was it better or worse? Better or worse? Better. Oh, and you're saying better? Yes, it was a Peugeot 405. They were quite good.
They were better.
Look, we should probably wrap this up because we should. I can't go on forever. But before we go, I have three things to tell you. They are, one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called This Is Awkward, in which he travels the world, spending the day with people whose names he can't remember.
No, I travel. It's a BBC drama where I travel Norfolk with John Travolta.
Ah, right.
And he enjoys the culinary delights while
Travolta.
I find cheap cars at the side of the road.
And he
I'd actually love to do that.
He just
the BBC wants to commission it.
He just sucks up eels like spaghetti while you're trying to negotiate a transaction on an aging RAV4 three-door. He also has a YouTube channel called The Late Break Show, which is very good if you're interested in that. Lots of great reviews on there. A one take of the Renault Megane electric car. Don't know why I said
well,
that.
Actually, as the listeners listen to this, there should be a very special Colin McRae related rally car that I get to drive that's very special.
Ooh.
And it's not a Subaru at all. It predates that.
Yes.
It's the very first rally car Colin McRae ever drove with a really interesting backstory. I urge you to go and watch it.
Urges you. I urge you to.
That's okay.
That's
on that
two
side of things.
Urges. So please.
Can I say urge Otsop?
Urge
Otsop. Right?
I was trying to work out how we could say suave again. I enjoyed it when you said that earlier on, but can't
Loved
see
it.
Any openings.
Toyota should bring out a car
Toyota
Suave.
That'd be quite good.
Yeah. Lexus Suave.
Mm.
Yeah, Suave Lexus.
I parked next to an LC.
Just sounds like a Cockney insult.
At the beach when we were away. But it was bizarrely at the beach I can't remember the name of it. One of those lovely beaches. There's the one, anyone knows it. It's the one where they've got three Airstream caravans where you can buy like really nice fish cakes. I can't remember the name of the beach, but it doesn't matter.
From John Travolta, or
John Travolta? He was there in the water, furiously grasping at jellyfish for some reason.
He's like a basking shark. He just swims with his mouth open.
Yeah, he says to himself, "If I can't get anything solid, I'll just sift for some krill, and that'll keep me going until lunchtime." Second thing I've got to tell you is that I've got various books out. One of them is called How to Have a Bad Back, and it's about how I went to a children's activity place, which was excellent, but in the course of playing with my children, I put my back out, and it's really painful. Failing that, Boring Car Trivia is available from Amazon as an ebook or a paperback, or from the Late Break Show merch shop as a paperback. And finally, the third thing I've got to tell you is, can you guess what links Red Dwarf with Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
Ooh.
The answer, weirdly, is Chris Barry, who, of course, played Rimmer in Red Dwarf, still does, I suppose. And he's also on the first Frankie Goes to Hollywood album. There are two segments with an impersonation of Ronald Reagan, and there's one of Prince Charles as well, and those were both done by Chris Barry. So, strangely, Rimmer from Red Dwarf appears on the first Frankie album.
Gosh, interesting trivia.
Weird
that
one, isn't it? Yeah.
I like that.
Quite obscure. Anyway, that's that, really. I have no more to add, except we'll do this all again same time next week. In the meantime, thank you ever so much for listening.
Thanks for keeping us in the charts. Thank you. Bye. Oh, buy our merchandise. I was supposed to have said that. That's an official thing you should say every week. Sorry.
Terrible about it. Buy our merchandise. Become a patron. That would be nice. Send
us
any thoughts, corrections. The corrections desk is always open, sadly.
Yes.
What is the address? hello@smithandsniff.com.
Yeah, John Travolta's PA, please email hello@smithandsniff.com.
Goodbye.
And I'm John Travolta, circumnavigating Norfolk in a Hercules looking for yellow SLKs.
With a giant net dangling out of the back.
It's been rock
in case I pass a fishmonger.
John Travolta rock balls out of a jet round Norfolk.
When he's the only person who thinks that rock pooling is just basically like going to a buffet.
Oh, John Travolta's idea of rock pooling, I mean, it would horrify anyone from Country Fire. He's basically like, look in there, whatever's in there, it's going on my plate. Next one, what's in there?
Stop picking them off the rocks.
He's kicking limpets and putting them into his mouth.
Just bounces a limpet off his knee up into the air and then clunk like a dog.
Keep,
he catches
keepy
it.
Keepy uppy with scallops. And then like, John, I think you're supposed to have taken it out of the
Please
shell because you're going to damage your teeth.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.